scars have been a pride.
Got the music up and bumping when we always up to something. Oh yeah, we up to something.
This is fresh off of the following holiday of Thanksgiving, fresh off of me hopping off a plane, and fresh off of me having one of the most dangerous matches in pro wrestling national American history. Bloody. Whatever you want to call it.
Bloody.
The work never stops, though. Episode 69 of the Swear City Podcast. We had to take a nice little trip down to here in South Beach, Miami, and it was only right that I bring my boy TZ. He just came back from WrestleCade this morning, actually. So we was both hopping off a plane.
Both.
Yeah, we were both grinding. We were both busy. We were both working. It's been a hell of a weekend, hell of a week, hell of a month, actually. November was a very great month for myself, TZ. Just dropping a new track with Rich Boy.
Yes.
You know, he's dropping some music.
Thank you, brother.
I'm in the studio with Chase the Money again. I'm going to be working on some stuff, man. I took a little break from music for this month, though, because wrestling just picked up like crazy.
Me too, brother. Me too.
And then podcast been bumping. Avion Crockett just happened to be in Orlando. We just happened to have him on the podcast.
He's funny. He makes me laugh.
Hilarious. Yeah. Didn't realize how long he's been in the game. He's been like killing for a while.
Me and him is like probably the same.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, around the same. Yeah, he's not
the same age, but probably the same in the industry.
In the industry, he talked about being in Def Comedy Jam the first years of it stuff. So it was cool. But enough about us. You've seen what we've been doing. You can watch it on every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on TBS. Check out TZ's youtube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. See what he's doing and other channels with TZ Table. We got an actually new revamped TZ Table. That joint's beautiful set. Awesome. You had Kira Hogan on there. Check out that. But without further ado, we got to bring in a legend in hip hop right here. One of my homies. You've seen him with me on Wembley at All In, walk out with me, yes, doing sir. The dance with the fire in front of 80,000 people. Yes, it was 80,000, you little. Don't try to take them numbers away. You saw him with me, Flash Garments and Nana, dancing around in Wembley in London Town.
Doing the Nana.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to my big homie, legend in the game, DJ Who Kid.
You guys did it better than me.
I just got my voice back. Man. Yesterday, it would have been really ugly. It would have been crackling. Yeah, I had to do like four interviews in one day, so my voice was shot by 8 o'clock.
I know how that feels, especially when I do the like the hot boxing podcast.
Oh my God,
Tyson! We'll have like 5 or 6 in one day.
Oh my God,
my voice is just
what?
Yeah,
beat
5, 6 podcast.
Usually it's like the minimum would be 3, but the last one I did, we did like 5. So,
oh my God, who's on those?
It was like, you know, like Ric Flair's daughter.
Oh, Charlotte.
Charlotte Flair. Charlotte,
yeah.
I mean, like all these crazy motherfuckers, man. Jake Paul. Like, I mean, a lot of them got released, but he'll just like throw me like 5 A-lists in a row, and I'm just like, and then he'll throw like some like political dudes or some medical motherfuckers, and I'm like, yo, man, I ain't even,
no prep.
I'm not a surgeon. Like, what the fuck? Big words to get TI or somebody. Man. I can't talk like, you know, tuberculosis. Superlative, whatever. And, you know, Mike could be long. Superlative. He was yelling at me.
Mike could be long witness, so I know the podcast be long.
That'd be mad long. I think if you come and hang out with the BTS, it's like, I think the BTS is more entertaining.
Oh, for sure.
It's,
I believe
it's funny. Like, it's fun to hang with them. And it's just weird that I used to watch them motherfuckers up, you know.
90s kids, bro.
It's the same. Like, you know, you see like Hulk Hogan, you know, I just see Jake the Snake. Mm. I just see like all these cats. But I'm an old school wrestling dude, but watching them as a kid. But then when you grow up, they're your homies. It's like, it's what the f-? Yeah, it's just like Tyson's like my homeboy. Like,
it's wild, dog. It's like, weird. It's weird. It's like weird. Like, you're like, dang, this, you can go to this person's house and just like hang out.
Yeah, chill. Kids, wife, everybody's cool with me. And it's the same, like, in my eye, it's cool when you become, like, a unicorn in a business where, you know, I've watched, like, countless people. I was a fan, and now the fan is, like, cool with, like, 99% of the industry. Like, you know, Snoop Dogg is, like, my best friend. I used to watch NWA. I would never think that this little Haitian kid in Queens,
right,
sleeping in an attic, listening to Doggy Style, and then, like, years later, he's like one of my best friends.
Talk about that growing up in Queens, man. Like your what was your first attachment to hip hop? Where you found that first like love and like, yo, this is something that I'm passionate about, and this is what I want to be attached to the rest of my life and my career.
You know, I'm from Springfield 111th, which is like the Twilight Zone of Queens.
Yep. Yeah,
we called it Shadyville because people would die, but it never reported.
Oh.
But it was basically a company I made up, and then it became like a gang because I guess it sounds so gangster, but it just bugged out. But where I lived specifically, down the block in Murdoch, DJ Clue was like my neighbor in Envy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So, wow.
And then like to the right, like a block up, L. Cool J lived on Linden Boulevard. So we see L. Cool J walk back and forth to go to the park. And then to the far right is Hollis. So Run DMC, Russell Simmons, everybody would be like just lingering. So, and then two blocks from my house was a guy called Tall Stretch, RIP Tall Stretch.
RIP, man.
Yeah, he was down with Live Squad. So Tupac used to walk up and down my block with Stretch to get like, I guess, Chinese food and a 40-ounce or St. Ives or whatever. So I think one day my father just was punching me in my head. The Haitians make you kneel outside, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was kneeling, and then he came back to punch me one more time. And then Tupac saw my dad. That's the only connection I have with Tupac, which is so embarrassing. I never met Biggie, but Tupac, the only time he saw me is he was with Digital Underground. He was like, he wasn't even a gangster Tupac.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the weird dressing hippie.
Yeah.
And all that. But he was getting beats. I guess he was doing like album cuts with Tall Stretch back in those days. But it's just like, that's the only connection I got with Tupac. So he laughed at me, said, you got up or whatever. All I remember, I was kneeling and I was crying. So he walked off laughing and shit with Stretch. And then, but it's just like where I lived, it was just too much going on where 50 Cent, who was called Boo Boo at that time, used to come up there, you know, do what he do with the streets or whatever. He was very much a bully, beating everybody up that owed him money and shit. He's still doing it till today. Social media to get it by Monday, you know what I'm saying? But
man, digital then, bully, cyber bullying at its finest.
But you know, back then he was physically getting his money back. But it's just so crazy that my curfew, I used to have to stay in the grass. I used to have to try to sneak out because, you know, Haitians don't let you go out, so you have to be back at a certain time. So I'm over here watching 50 do his thing, and he's literally like a couple yards from me. I would never think the day that maybe like 15 years from now, we're in front of like a festival with 100,000 people with Eminem. So it's just crazy how
the
hip hop thing is. Even me just dealing with you, like, how would I
full here? Circle? No, that story, we told the story on like on your show, but like the fact that earlier the year I was like on your show on Sirius. On whose world, right?
Yeah, whose house?
Whose house? Yeah. And first off, that's funny in a connection itself. Whose house?
And then Swerve's house. Starts screaming. Whose house? And like, yo, but I'm an asshole because I've known you long enough, but I didn't know that was your chant, right? Yeah. So I at the Wembley, I had to wait until I'm in front of like 80,000 motherfuckers
to go.
And I'm in front, like on national television, and he's like, everybody screams, whose house? And I'm like. It was like the best coincidence I've ever. Like, it was like, what? I was looking at Nana, like, I'm about to hug Nana. You know, like, you know, it was just the weirdest thing. I felt like, yo, I wanted a hug. So, man, why did I want a hug? I don't know. Man, it was too much. You ever see, like, white people kiss each other? When they escape action movies? Like, yo. Every time we're. Indiana Jones escaped like death. He tongue kissed whoever's in front of him. I just wanted Nana to hug me, man. Cause I felt like it was just too much going on.
Like, he's like, oh my God. I don't know how to take that. But anyway.
I mean, don't say that in Miami. Yeah, man.
I know, right? Say,
take that. Man. Get out of here, man. What's going on? No, I'm joking.
These are jokes.
It's funny because I know about your history and how and who you were because I'm from Far Rockaway.
Oh my god!
In the corner where nobody's at, but Amish and old people. So that's where I'm from. So knowing about the history and where you're from, and you telling those stories about that area, especially in the Hollis area where all the superstars come from, right? Especially in that area outside of like Queensbury with Nas and Mobb Deep and all them. So you talk about your early influences. When did you get into the DJ part of it?
Well, the DJ thing is, it was like a hobby. So I used to do this thing called blend tapes. So I did it for like my uncle, like, you know, like family members, yeah. Impress them. And then, I don't know, I met Envy, and Envy was like, you know, he introduced me to some kid named Splash, and then I hung out with them a little bit, but I didn't know Envy was DJ Clue's assistant at that time.
Right.
So he was in charge of, like, getting Clue all the music and stuff like that. So so I just hung out with Envy a little bit. Really, if it wasn't for Envy, I wouldn't be a mixtape DJ, because once they kind of, like, you know, I got kidnapped by Splash to understand how they would, like, get songs. So going to the labels, you know, after 5, 6 o'clock when they close, you know, stealing dats and, you know, waiting for like A&Rs to leave the offices, and we go in there and we look at like the CDs, and then once you see like Nas or Jay-Z or Remix, you see Biggie, you know, everybody just, either you copy it or you steal it.
Right.
So yeah, by the next day, the cleaning ladies, they're not like, they think, you know, we're black, so it's already a racist thing. So they think that we're A&Rs or we work there.
Like, you belong here.
Yeah, I just forgot something and I'm picking it up, but we're actually like robbing it. One way that I would rob is being parked up and wait, like, we'll get times of like studio times of like Jay-Z will block out like maybe like midnight to like 6 a.m. So all we gotta do is park outside around 4, because he usually leaves around like 4 or 5 o'clock. He don't really stay all the way. So once he leaves, then we go in there.
Right.
This is an example. We go in there and we give whoever the sound guy or production guy like $500. And he gives us the whole session. So the whole session is everything like Jay-Z talking. Oh, play that again. This guy, I'm not going there. You hear everything.
Yeah.
So when we take these dats, they're already like formatted where it's hard left, hard right. So we could put like the talk to the right, and then the hard right would be like either the song and the acapella, or we can take the acapella, do what we want with it.
Right.
But it's unfinished. So this is how, like, you know, I don't want to snitch, but that's how Clue got, like, you know, One More Chance. Like, he leaked Biggie's One More Chance. So the adrenaline rush of, like, you hiding and you leak something and everybody's looking for you. Because back then there was no Instagram.
You couldn't find them.
It barely was YouTube. So so you being a street legend, like, everybody, it was like the best rumor. Like, oh, DJ Clue leaked One More Chance. And it was one verse and a hook. Unmixed, not even finished.
Yeah.
But that's all we needed back then, because if we had a hook and a you know a verse and a hook, we could sell that, and then that's how we bought our Lambos, and we were making like, you know, it was like cocaine cowboys. Like, you ever saw that cocaine cowboy?
Yeah.
Imagine like us, like you go to every bootleg spot, every African joint, Chinese, every race, Irish. There's a bootlegger everywhere. You meet them, they buy your masters, they pay cash. And you have like 30, 40 G's. And that's a lot back in the day.
It's huge.
If I was making like 20, 30 G's and I was laughing, how much Clue was making? Yo? He was number one.
Right. So, man, it's like rare cards. Like if you're a card collector and stuff, that's what it feels like. And I miss that kind of like hard copy of a record. I miss that feeling.
You're not going to see that anymore.
Ever again.
But that's why I'm glad that I was part of that era, because, like I said, Cocaine Cowboys, there was no rules. There was no red tape. They had to create rules for even us. That's why cease and desist was created.
I was like, y'all kind of created the reason of, like,
wow.
Ownership and, like,
because the labels, and the labels, the day I woke up is when I went to Sony, and I'm in my robbery mode or whatever, like Nations, Ocean's 11, whatever. I'm in there looking in the label, looking around, trying to find shit. And then I ran into like this room, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Like, so I asked this some intern. He's like, oh no, that's the list room. I was like, the list room? Oh no, that's where the label sends to all the record stores. I was like, what? So I just went in there and stole the whole list, Sony list. And printed out the whole list. And all I did was call every store. So at that time, you know, I wasn't married to my wife at that time, but she was like, everybody should be like, yo, why is this Asian girl calling the record shops? Like, Yeah. Like, don't. That was like my, you know, that was like my future ex-wife, man.
But, yeah.
But I had to use a girl to call the stores because,
of course,
I needed like somebody who's like, you know, like you're not. I mean, you could believe who's calling with the product. So we didn't know that we were like literally acting like an independent label. We called like 400 stores, and then I went up to like 600 some stores with COD. So we were sending the CDs, cash on delivery, and then they send it back. They send the money back. So I was like, so then one day Tower Records, I didn't know what was going on. So I have my ex-wife hit up Tower Records, which is like a major chain at that time.
Right.
And Tower Records was like, all right, send us an invoice. We want 22,000 CDs and 62,000 tapes. And I was like, what? Yeah. So I was like, yo, get these to the house. Yo, I had, yo, it was like a sweatshop like in there.
Slipping CDs, copying, tracking.
But this
that.
Is the funniest thing. I stole DJ Clue's machines. Because those machines was like $3,000 each at Cash, like those double machines.
Was that the ones like the 8 stacks?
Yo, it was crazy. Yeah. So I went to you know, Splash or Envy, and I was like, yo, I'll pay y'all to use, because he was remember he was DJ Clue's assistant. Dubbed Clue's tapes. So Clue actually dubbed my tapes, Envy's tapes. Like Clue's the reason why we're all famous, to be honest, because he printed like 80% of my product back then. Yeah. Obviously, the printing companies came in, like the CD duplicators and all that stupid shit. But actually, in the beginning, like all my tapes was from Clue's machines. So Clue's like, yo, why is my head fucked up all the time? So he would pay like $1,000 to fix his heads, and then we'd be like looking crazy, like. But I literally moved like hundreds of thousands of tapes from DJ Clue's machines. Yeah. So from then on, it was just like, you know, we got Tower Records in New York. Then I was like, yo. Call Tower Records in London. Call Tower Records in France.
Oh,
so now it's like, you know, all these other major companies started hitting us back. Like, yeah, we want product. But there was no rules with them, too. The way the labels found out is if 50 Cent had an album that would drop, the problem is they'll put his album and my mixtape next to his album.
Yeah.
At Tower Records.
I remember those times.
When you walk in a record shop, that's how they, you know, they will pay for that kind of, like a label would pay for marketing to put their tapes up so people can move it faster.
Yep.
But the problem with me, people wanted like the songs that wasn't clear, that was out, exclusive, whatever. And then it took a while for me to like escape all that. It led to me like getting kidnapped because I was robbing motherfuckers where they were looking for me, like Noriega, who's now Drink Champs, wanted to kill me. Like, mad people wanted to kill me.
And so is that the Big Pun story you told? That around that
from
time?
That, yeah. All that Big Pun kidnapping, all that shit from mixtapes, songs, leaking, hiding.
All right, educate me on the Pun story. I'm new to this. What happened with that?
Well, you know, I was the only one that leaked this one song that no other DJ leaked. But I usually just get the songs, and then I just put it on a tape, and I just wanted to sell and make. So I had these things called, they were like beef tapes. So,
yeah.
So I started with the beef stuff where I would like, if I knew Nas had a diss song, I would call Prodigy and be like, yo, man, I think Nas dissing you, man. Prodigy be like, what? So Prodigy go in the studio now and do a song. So now I would have the verses. I would have Nas diss.
Oh, wow. Oh,
my God. I knew every artist. So I would call and be like, yo, man, I just heard this. What? Yo, get over here. Together right now, so,
wow.
So I would have like a whole bunch of diss songs. I even have fake diss songs. It just sounded like, you know, rappers rapping subliminal. So
yeah,
I would still make it a versus or whatever. So I had all these beefs CDs everywhere where they were called Set It Off. I don't know if you're a little kid fan.
Yep.
So I had Set It Off 1, Set It Off 2.
Oh my God!
They were like all beef joints, and then one of them had some pun thing. I didn't know what was going on. I don't listen to the lyrics. I just put gunshots, hooking drops, and keep it. Right? All of a sudden, like, this guy calls me to meet him at Apollo, the DJ. And then I was just like, he said, I'll pay you like a, you know, back then it was a lot. He said, I'll pay you a G. You know, I was getting like 150, 200 to like DJ. But this guy was like, I'll pay you 1,000. So I was like, all right, don't call my manager. Because I had my manager's number on the tape. So, you know, back then there was no phones. You had to use a quarter
to
pay for it. So
Well, the way you was running, you needed to use only payphones. Like, beepers and payphones, bro. I wouldn't want to get tracked at all. Like, that's crazy.
So I got a page on my, you know, the beeper.
Yeah. I'm a loser, right?
So the beeper, the page came off. So I had to get like four quarters to call the d-. So I put the quarter in, and then I'm talking to somebody, and the person's like, we got to pay you. DJ, I was like, what? Why is this guy breathing crazy? So I'm thinking the promoter's f***ed up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, man. Yo, so he said, yo, come to Harlem. You know, I got the cash and we'll pay you. And then we need you to DJ with Flex. I just DJ. These guys are smart. I just DJ with Funk Flex. Like, I opened for him. It was like one of my, like, biggest moments in my life. Like, you know, because Funk Flex was out of here. So
yeah,
right. We need to open for him. You know, that's like every DJ. I was a nobody. So I believe that they wanted me and Flex to DJ other spot. Yeah. So I go up there and then I'm in front of the Apollo where they told me to meet him, and I'm like, yo, what the f-? He's like, I hate promoters, yo, back then. So
yeah.
So I said, give me what? So I was with my cousin, give me two quarters. So he gave me two quarters. I crossed the street, I go to payphone again. So I called the same number again because the dude was late. So when I call the same number, he picks up again, breathing crazy or whatever. And I'm like, yo, what the f- you at? Up out here to Apollo. So I'm talking to Big Pun. The Big Pun's like, yo, who is this guy? Gangster or something? Yo, everybody together. So he was shooting Banned from TV, the music video.
Wow.
And somebody brought the tape in there, and then it was Nas, Nori, everybody was in the video.
And Jada and all them, yeah.
Everybody listening to this song. So Pun wanted to hurry up with the video so he could come meet me.
Oh, wow.
He sped up the video shoot to come meet my ass. And my dumb ass is chilling, and then all of a sudden, this Benz come with this, like, Spanish kid in it. And I'm like, oh, they're here. Woo, I got this buddy. I'll see ya. About to go crazy, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, I'm out of here.
So we follow this guy. He's like, yo, you who kid? I was like, yeah, yo. He was like, oh, kid, the same way you did it earlier with the intro. I was like, yo, yeah. He's like, yo, follow us, man. We in this other part of Harlem. So I followed him to, like, a cult, like, one of them cul-de-sac shit. Like, one way in, one way out. So, yeah, so it was like a, and you know, it was like the three buildings and shit.
Yeah.
And then there was a van in the middle. But the van looked like it was hooked up. It had rims. So I was like, oh, Flex is in the van. I'm about to beat this guy. I never met Flex. So I was like, what? I'm going to beat Flex too. So this is crazy.
It's hilarious.
So I go around. So the way they did it, they made me park to the right. They went to the left. So they set it up so perfect. He was like, yeah, man. Yo, we're going to give you the money. We'll get it cracking. So I told my boys, stay in the car. My boy, I had one guy that had a gun, but you know, we're from Queens. We don't trust Harlem dudes, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, like a bull, 38, whatever.
Right.
I think it was
right.
A 2-2.
Yeah, little
pellet.
Like,
I got shot in the leg.
You.
Yeah. I shot in the leg.
That's going to graze you.
Yeah.
The way this guy be bleeding.
No help.
You would have survived the 2-2.
I got a match on Wednesday. I'll be there.
So the way they did it is like I had to walk around the van where the side door opens. Like in order for my friends to see me, I would have to back up so far away back from the van so they could understand that I was having problems. So when I'm walking, I see like a Spanish kid on the bench. I see another Spanish kid. I was like, yo, this nigga Flex hanging with mad Spanish motherfuckers. This one is Flex. What are they gonna say? I got closer and closer. So now the van is opening, and I'm like, I see a silhouette in there, and I'm like, yo, who the f-? So I'm thinking it's like Big Cap, RIP Big Cap. I thought Big Cap was Flex's assistant at that time. So I thought Big Cap was in the van.
Right.
Big Cap was huge, too. He was a big guy.
Big, you know? Dude, right.
But it was dark, and and when I got closer, once I saw a pun, I was like, oh, shit. So in my head, I was like, oh, my God, is this about the tape? It can't be about the tape. So in my head, I told myself, nah, it's probably not about the tape. Maybe Pun does want me to, you know, DJ. Right. So right. I put my hand out like an idiot. I was like, what up, man? And then somehow he was like, he just went like this. He was like, I don't even know how he did it. He put two hands behind his head. He's like, nah, man, come inside. Let's chop it up. I was like, hell no, I ain't coming in that van. So I tried to, like, back up.
Yeah.
I think when I backed up, my hands went down. Because remember, I cursed him on the
phone. Right.
So he probably thought I was some crazy gangster. You know, when you back up, your hands go down. So he probably thought I was going for something.
Oh.
When I backed up, I closed my eyes. And then when I opened them, I was in a van. Aussie's pun pull out the gun and two other Spanish niggas, they all pulled down on me and I closed my eyes. So I thought I was gonna get shot right there. And when I opened them, I was like, that's how fast they put me in the van. Seconds.
Wow.
And I'm like getting yelled at in Spanish, carte la boca and all this crazy, like, whatever, paprika and fucking, I don't know, I was con pollo. I heard every Spanish curse word in the world in that. And then,
Lord.
And then I was on my knees because I had to, you know, I was on my knees as a van.
Yeah.
So I'm on my knees. And then he's like, you know, yelling, yeah, it's about that tape, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, yo, I'm going to get killed by a fucking tape.
Over tape.
Get the fuck out of here. And then all of a sudden, he was like, all right, man, I'm going to tell you what to do. Let's chop it up. So he said, get up. I want you to sit, like, in the corner. So when I kind of, like, got up, I had a tape in my jacket. I always have a tape for promo. Like,
yeah.
It's the tape, the beef tape that's currently out there. Fell on the floor of the van. So I was like, all I heard was like his homeboy starts going, nah, nah, nah. I was like, ah. I was yelling with the guy, like, yah, yah. And the partner said, get out of here. He shut the door. And then he yelled at his boy, shut the door. You know, there's always that one guy that want to impress
yeah.
the other guy. That,
yeah.
You know, so he could be more cool with pun.
Yeah. I'm trying to be lieutenant. Yeah. Trying to get promoted.
Yeah, trying to get promoted. He tried to shoot my ass or something. I don't know. So we had a nice chat. He was like, yeah, you know, obviously you don't know what's going on. Because even, like, the car I had, like, a Honda Accord with the lights that go up. You know?
Yeah.
So I had the old. So
yeah.
Like, yeah. You look like you don't know what's going on. I said, I don't know. Because I'm not into, like, streets. I do mixtapes. Like, I would understand, like, gang stuff and connections.
That's the craziest thing with, like you, like, being a part of the 50 and that era of the that Wild West.
That's like, you know, you get in your boy's car and he's robbing a bank and he didn't tell you.
Yeah.
You're just like,
yeah.
Hell, so you get, you're in the car now and you just can't get out and the police are chasing you.
But you're a part of it now, so yeah. You can't even.
I can't even tell the cops.
You got to just keep moving. Yeah.
So that's the issues I was dealing with back then because there was so much like repercussions from the actions we were doing with the music we were stealing or leaking.
It's funny because I don't think you hear these kind of stories and like. Of hip hop nowadays and today's hip hop, like they weren't like it wasn't as dangerous in a sense as it was then. Like there still happens. It does definitely.
No.
But like as far as mainstream artists, I'm not really. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing it from like rose colored glasses.
You're actually correct because I feel like if you're not about to like
I don't think Lil Yachty is about that life.
No, I don't think Lil Yachty got death threats.
Yeah.
But if you're not like in a death situation, like you're about to die back then, you really didn't do it. Like me being near death situations, the rumor got out like lightning speed. Like
that happened. Wow.
Like, there's rumors, yo, Fat Joe kidnapped who kid. This
but that's kind of like cred, though.
Yeah. So it's like you become like a hood legend.
Yeah.
Good or bad, whether the news is bad or good, it's like you know, 1 week I can have the kidnapping, and the next week. You know, I dropped like a 50 Cent, like this song, and or maybe I even leaked the Eminem song, and he wanted to kill me, you know what I'm saying? And now he's like my best friend. So it just shows how everything is like a full 360. Like, Clue went from leaking Biggie went on the radio, threatened to kill him. You know, he's like, who is this guy? I'm looking for him. Mm-hmm. And then he winds up being cool with everybody and becoming Jay-Z's DJ.
I think it's funny, it kind of comes to the sense of like, yo, who is this? He's the outrage, but then you meet them, they're like, you know, I got respect for you for doing that, you know?
I mean,
you think it feels like that? Or
no, it's the respect of surviving. It's not respect of what you did.
Right.
Like, you know, like I said, I'm cool with Eminem, so I begged him to go to the Super Bowl with him, and he's like, all right, man, enough is enough. So he said, you could come. I was like, what? So he put me on the list. I did the COVID test and all that stupid shit. So now I see myself full 360. I'm on a golf cart going to Super Bowl with Eminem, like doing rehearsals. And then, you know, that's during COVID too.
At yeah, the LA.
We're all in a bubble. And then it's crazy when you walk in the bubble, you know, whoever got cleared for in there, like FBI clearance, COVID clearance.
Wow.
Terrorism, everything. So
yes.
I'm just sitting there chilling because M goes to the bathroom and I come back. But then you see like Mary J. Blige comes in. Then Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre is like, you do it here. I was like, and Snoop Dogg. So Snoop Dogg is like the funniest one because Snoop Dogg is
Snoop
like
was great when we met him in Miami, man.
Yeah, he's the coolest.
He was amazing.
He's hands down the coolest. planet. So he said, yo, cuz, how you get here, cuz? I barely could be here, cuz. How you in here? I was like, with the white boy. It's like, oh, I get it now. But it's just so weird that the being like legendarily in that bubble where it's like Kendrick Lamar, Mary J, like everybody on that stage, and then Who Kid. Like, it's just like the weirdest.
But to, bro. But to me, we feel like you belong on that stage. We feel like we see you as that.
No, it's cool. It's cool for me. That, like, even Jimmy Iovine was like, what the fuck? Like, how the fuck you get in here? Like, Jimmy Iovine is like, you know.
That's
like,
the guy.
He's the one that wanted to kill. He's the one that was like, he calls me Who Cat, you know, because I was always like escaping and like. Like, he calls me. He doesn't even call me Who Kid. He
back door, like, oh.
Yeah, he actually did his documentary with Dre, and then they asked him about me. He was like, oh, man, we had, like, because Interscope would have, like, you know, meetings about me. So, like, because they created the whole block because, like I said, rewind real quick. My album, my mixtape and 50's album was, like, back to back.
Yep.
All these major department stores. So
number one's everywhere.
We started affecting, like, sales a little bit. But I think it's when we were getting bootlegged, that's when it got really bad.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, but being in those scenarios is like, I'm glad I even. I'm not saying I'm glad I did and still stole and did all that. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be like the top 10, you know, that kind of like survived that era. You know,
yeah,
like
dude, that's where like a lot of artists are coming to you because of that. They're hearing the name, growing and stuff.
Because you know, 50. I mean, I say it all the time. 50 Cent saved my life because when I started dealing with 50 Cent. I didn't have to like steal songs no more. So we started doing, you know, like just one artist mixtapes. So
it's that's like, what I want to ask you about, yeah. Like specifically, right? So I remember. So I'm gonna go back. I'm going back. I love these kind of questions because meeting people that I know from remember my time when I was coming up. So I remember right before I graduated high school. Right, this is right before The Massacre comes out. Mm-hmm. Right, and the first tape that I heard you on. Was before the massacre mixtape that you did, and then I remember because that was the biggest G Unit stand. I gotta have Swerve show you these old pictures of me. I gotta find it. I look absolutely ridiculous. I thought I was 50, so I look terrible.
it was, you got the tank top too,
and the hat. It was bad, bro. Like it was bad. I had the tank top with the hat, and I was like scrawny. I was just starting to work it out.
The tank top. If you don't fit the tank top, it looks loose.
Dude, it was like, bad. It cut at the nipple. Looks very weird on me, bro.
If your nipple's too big, it looks odd.
Dude, I was going to the corner store in Queens like that. Everybody was like, "This look like 50. This is weird. Like it was fucking crazy." I gotta find. I gotta find those.
Like, how you look like Marshall Faulk and 50, bro? Come on.
So during that,
I was the backpack era, though. I was like, I swore I was Kanye and Common and like in Talib with a purple collar,
dog. Like it's crazy because that's when I first heard one of your mixtapes.
And then looking back at it, just seeing your history of how many you did and hosted during that time, I just have to ask you this. Like, bro, that motherfucker was working you, bro.
Yeah, we...
Like, Jesus, all the mixtapes you did, bro?
Monthly. It's either monthly or when we came back from, like, a gig. Like, we did, like 60 gigs once we come back, right in the studio. We knock it out, get it out. We do it all in one night.
Oh my god.
All the mixtapes you do in one night?
One night. 50's like a machine. Like we all go in, Banks, Yale, everybody's in there, like knocking it out. Boom, Buck. Everybody's you go in there. I did like maybe the first couple sessions, but then I would just be in charge of like getting the beats or the instrumentals. But
you send them in there with the engineer.
Chico was like, you know, I knew Alchemist. So back then, there wasn't, like, instrumental CDs. Like, you know, you get instrumentals, everybody's freestyling or whatever. So I would have to call the producer themselves. So we loved Mobb Deep beats back then.
Yeah.
It was hard. So if you see, like, a good 80% of the G-Unit freestyles was, like, over Alchemist.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's this guy right there.
Yeah, that's my homie. We became friends from that relationship. And then, you know, I still kind of, like, stole from Dr. Dre. Like, I would always just wait till he take a piss. Go to the bathroom. And I'll run up there and be like, it's like, I'm like the
Tom Cruise, man. I'm just like,
I can imagine, like, oh,
I got it. Like,
wow. Dr. Dre going to get a Pepsi. Black gloves, come on.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, like back then, I'm even shocked. I surprised all that stuff, but he saved my life, man. I didn't have to do that. Then I just was like, yo, I think it's better to just do like a all Snoop Dogg tape, all Lil Wayne tape.
Right.
All like, then, you know, back then New York was running it. So in order for me to move tapes down south, that's how I met T.I., Trick Daddy, all those guys, you know, like Titty Boy. Now he's 2 Chainz, but, you know, I integrated all their freestyles into our. And I was like the liaison for them to do freestyles with 50 and shit like that. So that's why you saw that 50 had like, he had like his album. He had the legal songs. He had the leaks. He had the bootleg songs.
Right.
All on the radio. Like I gave him.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the reggae movement was mine too. It was a cheap code for me. You know, I was like the Diplo back then. I went to Jamaica and I got all the Buju Bontons. I got all the freestyles from Bounty Killer. And I did like dub plates because I used to DJ in Brooklyn where he used to do the clashes. And then, you know, DJs got more popular when they had exclusive songs where the actual reggae artists say their name. But it was easy for me because I had 50 Cent. So getting them to do like, you know, Sean Paul record, all of those hits, man.
Oh my God.
Oh my, like, everything was yes. Like hot.
Elephant
hit,
Man and all them was coming. Man. Yes.
Yes. Oh, what Lord. A different time, man.
And leaking, like, even like doing that when we did Kingston, you know, a lot of people don't know. Like, I was horrified to do Kingston because I heard they booed, like, I think they booed like Biggie or something. I don't know. They threw shit at him and shit like that. So ooh. I was like, how are you going to survive? There's like 100,000 people. And then during, like, I had to go check, do sound check. Somebody got killed. Like, there was.
Whoa.
Like, Jamaicans, the artists was beefing each other. Somebody got shot or whatever, or stabbed and died. So I'm like, yo. There's like yellow tape there where the dead to be at. So
right.
I don't know. Are we going to cancel? And then 50 was like, I don't know. Should we cancel? And then the Jamaican dude, the promoter, was like, Bumba Clyde, if you cancel it, you're not going to leave this country. You're going to be killed. I was like, what? All right, man. And 50 was like, I don't give a fuck doing this. I don't give a fuck. 50 loved like
the he chaos. Loved that kind of shit. Yeah.
Loved that. So, you know, we killed that shit. A lot of people don't know, like, all that shit was random. Like, I saw Bounty Killer. I saw, like, I think it was, like, Elephant Man. Like, all these people that was on stage. And then Bounty Killer f***ed me up. He was like, who, kid? Play a beat. Because, I was like, I don't know why I had the whole Alchemist folder on my
shit. Just happened to
that's
be
why there. You hear all those, like, dub plays back then.
Yeah.
That was historically, like, lit. Because we let all the reggae artists go on before us. But I thought they were gonna have their own records. I didn't know it was gonna be like some freestyle, like really like classic Jamaican style.
Wow.
So all those beats was like Alchemist, Mobb Deep beats. But I was just like, I didn't even have headphones. I was just like, and it just came in like right on time. I was like I don't know. But there was no Instagram or nothing back then. So if you saw my face, I'm like, you know, going in and out, fading in, Bounty's killing it, oh, boom, McLeod, and then they start shooting. I was like, yo, like, you know, because they got this thing where they put, like, I think they use hairspray, and then they blow, oh, like, fire.
Yeah.
So I never saw no like that. So once I saw that, I had that on lock, and then when 50 Cent came out to What Up Gangsta,
good know, Lord.
I've never Woo! Seen. Oh, it my. Must have been, like, 100,000. I never saw so much fire and gunshots. Like, so I told myself, like, if I survive Kingston and Nigeria, I could DJ anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
I do.
Lions Den, bro.
Like those
that was
like,
a time you had to be there. That's man. What I'm, y'all don't that's know. What I'm y'all don't understand. Saying,
bro. These youngins don't get it.
Like,
man.
Y'all talk like we a lot, but y'all really had to be there.
Y'all
on time
had
like
to
this.
Be there, bro. Like that time in music and the industry was some of the most legendary. You know,
dangerous,
what I mean?
But like, man,
like, do you like?
But
you,
it was a time, man.
Do you miss those times or like?
Hell no, I miss this.
Money now.
He likes to chill.
It's
cool.
The easy money.
We're
now.
In peacetime. Like, we are in peacetime right now.
It's
bro.
Like getting kidnapped every week, man. You just get bail like, money, and you get, or they just pay your shit, you get out. It's just,
and then like the mindset of traveling with a bulletproof vest on everywhere you go, yes. And going in this building, like not knowing what's waiting on the other side, coming out of the building, you know, like, or like, what was the feeling of like being in these radio stations, like like you're with like 50, you're rolling with G Unit and all them, and like at any moment they could say something, and it was like, and it could spark something else, like. Like there's like a lot of anxiety with that. It was
very like nerve wracking. Yeah, some moments, and you know we've been in a lot of crazy. I've seen everything, and then a lot of people don't know. Like I've been seeing it because even before 50, I used to DJ for Capone Noriega. So yeah, CNN, they were wild as fuck, and then I toured with Mobb Deep, Red Man, Method Man. So that's like a different vibe of like seeing like shootouts and
yeah.
So I became like desensitized on stage where. It doesn't make sense for me to run if they start shooting. And when they do start shooting, my brain is already adapted to, like, seeing everything move slow. So if I can see the women running, I can see the dude pull out, everything is slow. It's like a car, when you have a car crash and you see, like, it's slow and you crash, it looks fast for everybody looking outside in at the car crash. But me, my I don't know, from my eyes, it's just like, I can see. So why would I run if I see homie aiming and he's got beef with somebody else or whatever? Why? Usually people get shot from running or they don't know what
running in front of the.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll chill, or I'll watch, or I'll just like go inside the. You know, I call it like the man cave at the DJ booth. I'll be in there like, it's just crazy. Like I mean, I've been in so many shootouts, man. It's just like whatever.
You make it sound like it's like a comedy almost in a sense of like a South Park episode. Like oh, another shooting. Yeah, here we go.
It's crazy. It's up, it's just like, you know, it's to a point where, you know, it's kind of cool in a way because it eliminates the fear of like going into like, because I've been in like African countries, I've been like, you know, like crazy
they try to keep you there.
Believe
they try to keep you there though.
Yeah, like it's not like,
it's not like they don't kick you out. No, you with us now, you us.
I would have to literally see like blood, or like I would have to see like my body's like bleeding or some crazy for me to be like really start getting nervous, because if I survived that whole era, that's why I look at DJs now. You could be a DJ, there's thousands, or should I say hundreds? Probably like a million DJs out here, right?
Yeah, million.
But you're not getting what was given to us. Like hip hop chose us,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop molded us,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
It ate us, spat us out, ate us again.
Yep.
And then we went through a lot of fucked up shit. We went through a lot of good shit, but you're not getting that now. All you're getting is like the song real quick. It's going to be in your computer and you can put it in your whatever Serato. You just start DJing. You don't live it to understand hip hop. That's why I be looking at these DJs now. I'm like, yo, why am I grandpa? I just murdered this club. And I was just looking at you. And you're not looking at the crowd.
Fam got the MacBook. He pressed that one button, and he is rocking.
I just don't get it, man. Like, I'm like, you're like 18, 19. I'm supposed to be learning from you, right?
Now show me something.
Why am I murdering this EDM set? Why am I murdering trap? It's not even my genre, but I just murdered, like, you know, Ultra, or I just did some shit with Waka, like some big festival. Yeah. Like, and then they come to me, and they're like, I'm like, yo, bro, you're like 20. You're supposed to be telling me, yo, you need to do this, do that, do this. But
old mother, you don't know nothing about this. Like,
but it's from me living, like I lived in hip hop, like I lived it, you know. So that's the difference. Like,
do you feel like you were competing in hip hop at the time too? To get the because like how you're saying, you was like breaking the record. Who could break the record? Who could get
there? Was no competition. Like, it was just like organic. It was just like the only person I competed against, like selling to make money, was Clue, DJ Clue. All mixtape DJs hated DJ Clue. Like DJ Drama, we all hated him. We said him that, like on the mixtape trying to sell, because when he dropped, you know, all the bootleggers were like, "We're good, we got Clue, we're good, we're good."
Damn, for
come to us like in another week or two, because they want the DJ Clue rush, because everybody's gonna buy up DJ Clue heavy. You don't want like another tape with the same songs.
Same songs, yep. So I remember that. Man.
So I got so mad. I was like, yo. So I you know, every time I go, they won't take my tapes. It took me a while to get out of that. Obviously, when I started dealing with 50, it changed.
Right.
And then I switched up. I had like celebrities hosted, from like Hype Williams to like Donald Trump. I had everybody on my tapes. Like I was like, yo, do some drop, dude. So I had them host. Busta Rhymes was the first one to host my tape. And I'm like, yo, I'm just good. This will be like my added edge against Clue. Clue had the songs. But I would have like Denzel. I would have like, you know, like, Charlie Murphy. Who else was on there? Dave Chappelle. Like, a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Hosted like even the early LeBron James, like sports stars all day. Like, LeBron James, before he went in the league, he hosted. He was G Unit before he went to Rockefeller. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hung out with Jay-Z. He was a G Unit.
Yeah.
You know, but that's why he's so inclined to like freestyles and mixtapes because I would make these guys host. Dave Chappelle was like, yo, come do my f***ing pilot. I didn't know it was the Chappelle show. I said, yo, I'll DJ your pilot if you host this mixtape. And so I went, yo, I'll never forget. I walked in there and I did the Chappelle show. So I don't know what the Chappelle show
was. He's like,
about.
What is happening? What's that big old C on the stage?
So they put me like on this pedestal where you know, I had to do like the music.
Remember that corner?
Yeah. Like, you know, everybody's like they transitioning or they, you know, getting the next scene done. But I did the first one, and the first one was super racist. Like,
wow.
It was an all white crowd. And then every time where Dave would do his skits or whatever, you could hear a pin drop and people pissed or whatever. Because remember, it wasn't on DVD or it wasn't on TV or the Comedy Network. So you got to understand, yeah, people are just like, what are we doing here? What kind of is this right? So Dave is the only one laughing. He loves it. Like, he's like, yo, he with their heads. But every time they would go, he'd be like, yo, let's go to Who Kid. And then they put the light on me, and this whole crowd that hate all the racist you just saw is looking at me, and I'm just like yo, you see my hand go on the like. Like, literally, like, you see my head every time, like, jiggy, 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 and then it goes back down. Because it was just, like, the bills, whatever, the bigs, the black guy in the KKK thing. Yeah, Clayton Bisbee skit. Yo, people were like, I could have sworn somebody got
him off the. He came off the block with that, like the first episode. He's like, "We got to hit him hard now."
Yo, super. It was, but it's like, it's like, I guess it's funny when you watch it on TV, but when you're there, it's totally like people were mad. Like it was quiet. Even when I left,
it's the test audience, right?
Yeah, I didn't think it would. I didn't think they would pick it up. I was like, "Yo,
wow,
I was like, you a crazy motherfucker, man? Yeah.
Wow,
yo, hurry up and host this shit before they kill you, man." He hosted it. It was so quiet and people were pissed. It was like, but then it became like this billion dollar enterprise, man, where it's just like,
that's so wild.
Like, you gotta understand, like, all these legends, they f with me because I was part of their lives. I grew up with a lot of like the music, whatever else I did.
Yeah.
You know, either I was in the beginning of their career or maybe I leaked a song. You know, I leaked We Them, you know, like Black and Yellow.
Yep, I was about to go into that with Wiz. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
So then he came upon himself to like have me leak We Them Boys.
You know?
So me and Wiz like gave me like his whole fan base. You know what I'm saying? So,
wow.
But P.I.M.P. was like the biggest shit for me because Snoop had his pimp movement going on with him, you know, back then. So I'm talking to 50. I'm like, yo, man, you have a song called P.I.M.P.? Go get Snoop to get on there. So I had to call Snoop Dogg, who just came out of Doggy Style, and he's like, what the f*** is that? What am I doing some freestyle shit? I don't know no free shit. I just sold like 20 million records. What the f***? So he didn't understand the concept of like doing something for free and leaking it.
Yeah.
He didn't understand the mixtape shit, you know what I'm saying? So I had to fly to L.A. and then on some lucky we had a show, and then I brought him. He watched it, but then I told 50, I'm just going to go to the studio. He did the freestyle to P.I.M.P. That shit was a freestyle. And 50 was like, yo, that is so hard. We're keeping it the way it is. So the Snoop Dogg remix is a freestyle.
The one they did the video with.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm looking at myself like, yo, I came here to do a freestyle. Now I see myself on a video set doing a remix. Like, so that's how crazy powerful the whole, you know, crazy shit went. You know, and then after that, Snoop became like the best friend. Then I did like over 40 mixtapes with Snoop. Snoop was like, I get it. I'm like, yo, how many freestyles we doing? Like, he would do like, I was at his house. I was like, yo, you know, Snoop Dogg has all the like up in smoke jackets.
Yeah.
Bro, I was trying to steal them like Death Row original jackets. And
Oh, God.
But, you know, when you see me, it's not just like, you know, Lil Wayne. I was with Lil Wayne the other day at his podcast on Apple Music or whatever. And he just was like, oh, shit, who kids here? Because when he was 14, he brought up Squad Up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I did all his mixtapes with all his. He had like 30 little kids at a fucking adult party in New Orleans, you know, the Jazz Fest. I got hired right. to do Jazz Fest. And the promoter's like, yo, why are there like 30, 40 little kids outside? I'm like, yo, that's Lil Wayne. But I didn't know Lil Wayne was bringing like 40 children.
Right.
But it those kind of like scenarios where it leads to like music where I started DJing for Juvenile. Juvenile is the one that introduced me to the replay machine. That's why when you see me with 50 Cent, there's two replay machines. That's from me hanging with Juvenile. Because Juvenile was like, yo, I'll do the mixtape with you. I'll do the freestyles, but come on the road with me. You want to DJ for me? And he actually introduced me to like white chicks. I was like, yo. That white chick, because he had backed that ass up. So
everybody—that's what everybody thought they had an ass though. Everyone thought they had an ass.
It was so weird. He would take all of us to like Foot Locker, gets all big white tees, and like tees was like it was like 15X. Like
you know, it was big when this.
Is here. Yeah. Like, yo, the Soulja Boy era was crazy too. Franchise we Boys were. And all them. Yeah. Golly, man. I was in the Reeboks. Military at that time, bro.
You bought everybody Reeboks.
Wow.
Reeboks.
Shirts and, yo, and fitted hats. And no, they used to wear do-rags back then.
They never tied them. They just would just hang. And nobody was like, yo, this is doing nothing for you, B. And then they would try to be like, just a towel would be it, too. I was like, oh, okay.
But that's a great thing, though, about your career, because it seems like throughout all this time, you've built a lot of good relationships.
That's the only reason I'm here. Like, relationships.
And you changed the game in a sense, too. Like, in a lot of ways.
He did.
In so many different ways, bro.
It's, you know, when you indirectly do it organically without busting your ass, you don't look stupid. Like, you're thirsty.
Yep.
Put on. I just let everything come to me. I let, you know, you got to have a bad month, and then next month, holy shit. I'm with Denzel, and then the next month, I'm just like, what's going on? I just let hip-hop, like, fate me out, you know? And then it led me to, like, hung out with Nelson Mandela, you know, I did for Gaddafi.
Wow.
Prince of Monaco, shout out to Prince Albert, did my birthday 4 years in a row, and I had, like, George Benson and Pink and everybody eating dinner. Like, oh it's, like, God. The weirdest, stupidest shit. But I felt like if I wasn't in my attic doing those blend tapes and you read about these guys in history books, you read about these countries, you know, you're in kindergarten, you know, that top.
Yeah.
Every country, like Africa, Peru, blah, blah, blah. And then now you realize, hey, I've been in every country. Why would I think that if I'm doing a blend tape at my house? Not even a mixtape, like a blend, like putting like R&B together, and, you know, listening to Kid Capri, like wondering how he put this together. One of my favorite DJs was like Dirty Harry. Like he's the king of like blending. And I was just like, yo, I want to be like this guy. But then fate had me hang out with Envy and, you know, Splash and DJ Clue. And then
that's a hell of a, like, just a link chain of people that is, like, in the same area. I was like, y'all are supposed to be here at the
that
same
whole
time.
Area was.
Yeah,
that's
like Stars Align type stuff.
We call it industry zone. So Nas used to be on there to get beats from Stretch, Mobb Deep. And then more to the left was Steve Stout. Like more to the left, Russell Simmons used to be at the park doing heroin and all. I used to see the chess table, like doing all kinds of drugs. Yeah, I interviewed him before, and he's like, yeah, I was there, I was doing everything you could think of, you know, like wild, dog. It's like,
like whoa.
It's really crazy,
whoa,
it's really crazy.
You've seen,
I was doing yoga, and
I've seen like so much, man. But the fact that I've been all over the planet like a few hundred times. And so now it's just like when you see me, I don't mind like giving you my information. There's nothing wrong with being humble. If you ask any DJ out there, I'm never like, get out of here.
My man is like one of the most accessible people. I've like not say accessible, but like just like understanding, like easy, always been easy to talk to. Like since day one, it's like, oh my God, I feel like we just known each other for years.
I want to ask you, so what was that idea to get him to do the entrance with you? What was your idea? What was going on in your mind to make that happen, to invite him?
Oh,
I know the Flash thing, but about inviting him.
Like, what, didn't you just happen to be over there? You were about to, like, you did a show the night before or something. And I was like, oh, you going to be in, You going to be in
London? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I did. I had like a gig in New York, and then it was just a good coincidence where AB was like, yo, you want to come out, you know, with my boy Swerve? I was supposed to come out with you, and then when I got there, this is a fucked up shit, when I got there, Justin came. He gave me the paperwork, like the who's winning and losing, and then, you know, the scissor. Yeah.
It, you know, that was New York.
Yeah, that was
New York. That was just the New York one, but yeah. For Wembley, you just.
Oh, the Wembley. I'm giving the New York one. This is the New York one.
Yeah.
The Wembley Arthur one. Arthur Ashe Arena was amazing. Yeah. That was like you gave me so many. Yeah, he gave me so many big looks. He even forgot about Arthur Ashe. But
I'm like, we did do that. He got the Arthur Ashe look this year.
Yeah,
he got to do that.
It was ridiculous, right? This gave me a list, and he's like, yo, these scissor motherfuckers are going to win. You should walk out with the scissor. So I was like, oh. So I switched. I put Fabulous name on his shit. My shit. So it's funny because I come out with them scissor motherfuckers, and everybody's like going, yeah, yeah, screaming. I'm over here like this, like, yeah. Get my tongue out like that. I saw one, I was like. I did the same thing, but I had a mask. So I wanted to look like a wrestler. I like those Mexican masks.
Yeah.
I had a Haitian version. So, you know, so I put the Haitian version on. So now he comes out with Fabulous, and everybody's like, boo. I was like,
Fab's like,
yeah, Fab is like, yo, what the? Yo. But,
it looked right because, like, we was wearing the New York Knicks colors, and he just wearing the Knicks jersey. I was like, yo, what are the odds? So it kind of like fit. But man, like the Wembley though, you did like the O2 Arena the night before, so, and I was like, "Oh, you here?"
That's why it was a blessing to me because, like I said, this whole industry chose me. Like, I've been did O2 with the Eminem thing and all the craziness. Now I find myself back in it, sold out again.
Yes, sir.
This guy,
yeah.
And the cheat code of knowing Swerve is I get to see like straight up like this mother. Thing to swerve at me like I'm like literally on the gate and ooh-wah-wah. Thea Garment's like yeah like I never thought the day like you know I always see like you know like you know the Griselda homies that they be
yeah oh yeah
West Side's on the other side like yeah, like humping like he was gyrating crazy with bad jewelry it was a wild
like we got like, way too many black people
we're the only black people in there, but that's crazy. It's like you have to have that kind of experience to understand how real wrestling is. It's so physical. Like, I can't believe Sting at his age could still do like half what I'm doing.
Wow.
And they threw your ass in a fucking coffin. I felt bad for you, man. I was like, you're still in there.
It's funny because I have him not tell me certain things because I just want to watch. He went in that car. I was like, man, I hope my dog breathing good. I hope he's all right, man. Like, you just automatically, this human nature, like, they got some holes in that.
I was talking to Karma. I was like, he's got a little oxygen tank in there.
I was in there like,
meanwhile, everybody's outside. Like,
but no, he's going. He's probably there like, hey, make sure y'all put my phone in there before I get in there.
I'm like, I'm going to send some tweets. Got some battery life. I can save some battery if I turn the phone off every 6 hours.
Got a new beat email.
How do y'all, balance out getting thrown against the gate where you don't get hurt? Like, I looked at it and it still looks.
That's a solid gate too. That thing, if you had front row tickets and like front row seats to that joint, that thing don't move. It's don't budge. It's like meant to hold fans back. So like we like find the pocket of it and just like boom. Like that's why we train our bodies the way we do. We're supposed to take like those weird like blows to the body that you're not the normal person is not supposed to. That's why a lot of people say, you can't do this. You can't just jump in and do this. You got to really do this for years before so you can build up the, you know, the callus for that. Like some people are like shout out to Logan Paul. He's doing his thing, but there's a reason why he doesn't match and he has to take a break for a little bit and doesn't match. And then it just takes a break. Cause like doing that overnight takes years to develop that type of, yeah, it takes years to develop that type of physicality on your body. Your knees are sore, your ankles sore, but there's parts of your body that's just sore that you don't even know. And then your body gets marked up a lot very easily like your first couple of years. But then, like, after a while, you're just, like, it's just used to it. It's like, oh, it's Tuesday night.
I can't hear, like, a Batman suit if I want to be a wrestler. Like
I would have, yes. I would have. I want the chocolate, the chocolate Travis Scott Batman suit that he wore on one night of Halloween.
Oh my God, you had the brown Travis Scott suit.
With the chocolate Lambo, Matt, to match. I want you in that.
You gotta be like damn Don Cheadle and Iron Man or some shit, bro. Like, dead ass, like a real ass protector suit, bro. My black ass, man. I got one power bomb, and I'm doing the power bomb.
Lift me if you can.
I am, nope, not happening. No, I swear, I haven't told you. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, like, so Teezy, what are you going through a table? Like, never. Yeah, right. Teezy, don't go through a table. Take a chair shot. No, I ain't doing that, motherfucker. Are you crazy? No.
There's been a lot of celebrity smashes through tables that are so funny, man. Like, this, I think when Snoop got, he did
a dive.
Machine Gun Kelly was the funniest one, though. Like,
it's funny when like celebrities get in. That's all they want to do. They want to go to the table.
No, really.
That's mostly all they want to do.
Nah.
Every person that comes to the back, like, yo, I want to hit somebody with chin and put somebody through a table. Like, I talked to Duke Deuce. He hit me up. He was like, yo, you think I could 3D someone through a table? I'm like, man, they just got to sign a waiver. You got to like, it's not just you just go through tables.
You had Rick Ross. They didn't try to throw his ass through a table.
No, they wanted to. He wanted. He was ready though. He was ready to come back and go. Yeah, he was ready to go back and like he was like because he did the accusations thing and he was like, yeah, next time I want to freaking yeah. And that's like we had that little backstage clip. We never aired it, but I had it on my phone, throwing the knee like yeah. It was like that's like a little test. Like let's see if you can pass this throwing a knee. Can you get past that low knee? Can you get that? But man,
I mean, there's one guy that wants to with you. And shouted it out on TMZ. Maybe it'll come to light one day.
I can't.
Waka Flocka is ready to f*** you up.
Man. Yo, come on, bro.
You're a big guy, man.
Show him my last match. See if he still want it.
Yeah, okay. Man.
Like, I went through barbed wire boards, bro.
I'll show you Waka Flocka in the early 2000s. This guy was like beef everywhere he was at. I think wrestling should be nothing for him, man.
You would think. You would think. I seen people tear ligaments just jumping off the ropes, bro.
Nah.
You would think.
Your boy performing at the Wembley before he goes. I'm like, damn, it's like some new shit now. I would never thought that I would see that. Usually when they did like that, it was like a joke.
Like, yes.
Like somebody singing or somebody got a rap song. But now it's some serious.
It's serious. It's changing. The guard is changing.
That's why I want to do a full mixtape with you or something, man. Let's get AEW.
Please. Know. Please.
Told Tony to just get us like some AEW chains, you know?
That can be done. That can be done.
That'd be fire.
I don't even like going through AEW. I like doing it myself, so I got the gratitude from it.
Oh, really?
That's why I do all my stuff myself.
You're like a hoop kid. You're like a wrestling
hoop kid. Well, dog, that's why we link. That's why we kind of connected, because like, we just do it our own stuff. We just like, man, like, let Tony worry about the show. Like, we'll hit up Tony when we need to. Like, if it's dire, you know, he'll be there. But like, I'm going to do it myself. I'm self-made.
But I'm with AEW, man. For them giving me, like, a hookup where I could just be on, like, national television in front of, like, 100 million people.
Man, ain't no like better publicity than that. Cause that's a different type of publicity. Like, you know what I mean? That's a good resource to have on your belt because not everybody gets to do that. You know what I mean?
You walk in the airport and people were like, yo, I just saw you, mate. Like, yo, the bloody hookah. Like, you know, I was like... I was in London, like, I was in, like, Heathrow, like, I just bloody saw you. I was like, what? Really? I was like, yeah, mate.
80,000 people, all of them had a phone. All of them was, like, watching. Crazy. Everybody was sharing stuff. I still get tagged and stuff to this day from that night, man.
That was historical, and I'm glad they're doing it. They already got the contract to do it next year.
Yeah. So, I'm finally on the poster this year, too.
Fire, yo.
Fine. No, like a year out, I'm on the poster.
Hey, those UK kids was going crazy when we walked out. You can't walk outside, bro. Like, this guy's like, let's go. He got his little suitcase, like, he's a stripper and shit. Okay, hey, bro, out of here, man. So we walking outside. Everybody's chasing him, like, doing all the dances, all the. I'm like, bro, you can't walk outside, bro. Like, this is not cool, man. Like, even when I walked in front of their hotel, like, where all the wrestlers was at,
they had a fence.
Chaos, like, outside. Like,
it's going to be bigger next year. Like, it's going to be a bigger, like, oof, I can't wait. It's going to be legendary. I can't wait to
get a date, and then we're going to, like, get some.
It's already out.
Get the big UK artists to come through.
It's already out. I'll say, say the word.
Bigs, get Skepta, get.
You know, this year, I want the top. At the top of the stage, you know, Jericho at the top. I'm like, no, I want that Bitch, now I want this year. This year's mine. Derrico, you killed it. You did your thing. Fozzy, woo, do it. Nah, I want the top stage.
You do like a romance fight at the end, like fighting for like an hour and then make up.
Like the women. I ain't gonna do nothing like that. I ain't fighting for my brother. I fight for. I ain't fighting for my brother and my friends. No, I want compensation. I want.
Kissing at the end. And it was like, but I ain't gonna front. Everybody, it was intense. Everybody was watching
it. It was quite intense.
Bro, even crazy. In the you know, where the food court or whatever, it was like this, like, wait for like the last.
Oh, there was.
Oh, come on. Like,
it was a soap opera, man, going on. And that main event, shout out Cole, shout out MJF for the first ever main event of All In. Y'all, all right. Nobody could take that from y'all, but y'all some romantic motherfuckers. I will say that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, my dog got next year. How about that?
I'm taking that next year.
My dog got main event next year. Let's go.
And we got Ospreay on contract now.
You're a world champ, man.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
He's coming. It's coming.
Shh, but it's coming. That's all I'll say. Just keep watching.
You know, I didn't know that you got to give the belt back. I thought you keep, like, obviously.
Oh, you can. You can. Some people don't like to travel because it's, like, more weight in your bag and stuff. But, like, they.
Oh, but so you have all the belts that you want.
Yeah, I got them.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd give the actual physical.
They got to make another copy, and then they send it to you. It's mine came like 6-7 months after I had the tag title, but now I have it at the house now.
Yo, get the world championship, man.
I don't want it until
though. Yeah, but we'll get the chains.
Oh, that's fire.
But like, remember we said this, right?
Absolutely. We said this on the podcast, episode 69.
You know how this works.
Peter Marco, my jeweler. You hear this, Peter Marco?
November 25th, 2023.
Rodeo Drive.
Let's do it.
Publicity.
Let's do it.
Discount. Man. Who's the youngest in AEW now? The youngest.
Probably Nick Wayne. Nick Wayne and.
Like 17 or something?
Yeah, 18. Him and Billy Starks. 18 years old. And he just did a pay per view match with Adam Copeland.
Sting. Oh, he's the one they bodied on the car. And the glasses everywhere.
No. That was Jack Perry and Hook. Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's young too, then. He looks crazy.
We got a lot of young studs on this roster, bro. A lot of young guys. Like, we're going, they're set for like the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I got to start hanging with these guys. Yeah. I'll follow me. Like,
I got to throw Nick Wayne your way, bro.
Let's go, man.
Yeah. Nick Wayne is a firecracker,
put me
bro.
On, man.
Put me in,
coach.
Let's go. That boy is a firecracker. He's already doing pay-per-view matches with legends. So, shout out Nick Wayne.
Shout out, man.
I hate you.
Put me on with Nick. Man.
I hate that kid. No, I hate that kid.
Who do you hate now the most, though? Like,
Nick Wayne. Nobody. I hate that little bastard. He's the youngest man to ever take a title from me, from the Defy title. I hate him so much. But he's someone you need to interview.
You ever reversed it? Like, you ever reversed it on purpose? You ever hear them Hulk Hogan stories where he's like, that, I'm winning today.
Oh, yeah. Like, I wrestled in a firehouse with this one asshole that was like, it was like a false count anywhere. You can pin anywhere in the arena. But it's like... I say arena. It was literally a firehouse, like the poles right there.
Really?
No. Yeah, I swear to God. And he was trying to, like, I'm not a fan of, like, food and getting all that on you and stuff like that. So he tried to take, like, this hot dog and, like.
A glizzy?
Yeah. No way. Or, like, a mustard and stuff getting me on. I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm mad.
Smack the glizzy.
I was like, no. I like, or then he tried to throw it at me. I was like,
no for me, sir.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, black folks don't usually do these type of matches, so you can't be doing that all the time.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. And we about to roll out of here. We got to get back up to Orlando before nightfall.
Of course. And are you coming back, man? Coming back?
I would love to come back, but that's like 3 hours, bro. 3-4 hours. Man. We start the convo. He don't want me to leave. That's how I like it, bro.
Yeah, man.
We gonna link up definitely on like the shows because.
Good luck on the 30th. I'm gonna be in Vegas doing Tao nightclub, but you're gonna be at work.
As per usual.
You winning or you losing?
I win every night. I win every night.
Do they do betting on wrestling too? Can I bet?
We literally have DraftKings on the canvas.
It's DraftKings?
Yeah, it's literally on the canvas as in the ring.
Oh,
shit. Sponsored by DraftKings.
So can I call you? You tell me if you win or lose?
Always bet on the dub. Like, throw it up. If I can put 20,000 more.
That's hilarious.
Parlay.
I got to get you on this because I know you be having mad crazy kicks. So shout out to Just for Kicks podcast.
I know them. They are dope.
Yeah, you need to come on that show.
Please.
Bring like the best pair of sneakers or some wrestling collabo or.
I actually bring my wrestling boots because they're actually fashion boots. I just wear them for the ring. Yeah,
that's dope.
And I get them for free because like Legend, shout out Legend Footwear for like they every time I was like, oh, I need a new pair of boots, they send me two like brand new. They're pretty fire.
Can I wear them like regularly?
You can wear them regularly. They're fashion boots. I just happen to just like
not
wear
them. Think I'm Conan or anything like that.
No, they're not egregious like up here. like that. No knee high boots. They're not nothing crazy. Not looking like Gene Simmons or nothing like that. But no, like they're like casual like fashion
that's
wear boots.
That's hilarious.
I just like them because they feel like sneakers. They don't feel like a boot. They're very light. So I can, yeah.
Well,
yo, who can want a pair of boots, bro? Hook me up.
Shout out to your boy, good old from DC, Wale Mania. They want me to host it this year. Like DJ.
Oh, you're gonna have fun. I don't know if I'm gonna go. I don't like Philly like that.
Oh, you don't like Philly?
I lived in Philly for a year. Yeah. I was like, I'm not a
man. Yeah, I got a couple of invites. It's gonna be a no for me, boss.
Yeah, this year I'm gonna take it. I'm
I don't know.
But I got Meek Mill coming through and everything.
I do want
to know. Meek Mill.
Yeah, Meek's like what that motherfucker say? I don't like wrestling like that.
You be like, hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I'm like, nah, I'm good, man.
I don't know, dog.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Change your mind.
If you pulling up our
phone. The only reason I might show up, my kids is like an hour away, and I can see my kids.
Okay.
But like maybe I'll take my daughters to Wally Mania. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. Cool. Maybe.
Wally Mania's usually Thursday, right? Thursday, sure. Friday?
Sure.
I'll pull up that day, and then I'll dip because, you know.
Like, I'm taking my kids to Wale Mania because they're old enough to go and actually know music and stuff. So maybe I'll roll up.
I met everybody. You met every wrestler, right? Almost every wrestler?
I never met Austin. That's the one I haven't met. I've, like, literally had conversations with Dwayne. I've had conversations. I've, like, asked questions with Cena a bunch of times.
Oh, Dwayne, man. He's mad cool with me, too.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude. Him and Cena, I had Cena freestyle.
I remember I played it for you. You were like, "What the hell?"
I was like, bruh.
I had John Cena freestyle. Like I played it for him.
Put that on the tape. Did you ever use it on the tape? Or you just
it was like 1 + 1 = 2, and I know you, and it's real like steel, and I'ma peel the apple with the rapple. So he's like, "Yo, you ever saw a black man like this?" Like
I got, it. I was like,
"It was crazy." He's like Nick Cannon for like 10 seconds. I'm about to throw a turban on this.
You get a wild boy. You're a wild boy.
The subject matter is taking me.
But this is what I'm talking about, man. But we're good, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Of course. No, thank you for taking the time out.
You
want
to come on Whose House? You are Whose House.
I've been on that twice already, bro.
But you are Whose House, so it's.
That only makes sense, bro.
And you know, I just found out, and I did the
Rams?
The Rams thing. So I'm at the Rams thing with Gunna, and then I heard. Whose House? I was like, yo, it's swerving here. It's swerving's in there. He texts me. He's watching. He's in the game. He's in the football game. I'm like, yo, what is going on? I'm here with Gunna and then Swerve. I just heard Whose House? And then Swerve just texted me like, yo, I've been here. Where you
that
at?
That was wild.
He saw me on the thing with Gunna. Like, we're on the screen.
Like, oh, snap.
He's going crazy. He's gyrating. Gunna like, ooh. You know, like, all the haters. He's like, yo, what the f-? I just saw you on that show.
Yeah,
like on TV, like
8 hours ago, I was like getting
you can't
bloody.
Make this shit up, man.
You can't make that. Like
up,
we were meant to like link
Whose
up.
House, man?
Hilarious, bro. But thank you know, man. As always, man, check us out. This is Who Kid, man. Whose House? Check him out on J45. Check out on social media. He's booking clubs. He's doing festivals. He's
got his own strain.
Got his own strain, like
Houdini.
Houdini, man. He's doing his thing, bro. He's a big. Big uncle, friend of mine, brother.
Hot
you
boxing.
Name him. Hot boxing there. With Mike Tyson. We were supposed to talk about that. We didn't even get to that, but that's cool.
I got to come back, right?
We got to come
that's
back.
That's another
gotta
show
come
right
back.
There.
We got to come back.
I think I'll bring Mike Tyson.
Please bring Mike. Shout out Mike, man.
Nobody cares about me. I'll bring Mike, man.
Yo, Mike Tyson on the podcast coming up soon, bro. Yo, TZ, you got anything to add, brother?
Yes, man. Make sure, man, you go on all digital platforms, man. Stream my brother's album, You Couldn't Be Me. Make sure you stream that song I got with Rich Boy out on all platforms right now. Make sure you check out everything that we have going on while Who Kid throws up his gang signs.
No, I'm scissoring.
Oh, you're scissoring.
Oh, not gang sign. Sorry, guys. I didn't see what it about the corner of my peripheral.
Make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel, Swerve City Podcast. Subscribe, show love to everything we got going on. You know, we have many more great episodes coming. This is one of my favorites we've ever done. We've done a lot in these 5-6 years. But this dude is hilarious, yo. Shout out to Who Kid for coming on. Episode 69. Many more to come, my brother.
Yeah, be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework. We out.
Keep it saucy.